Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, Calvary family. What an honor it is to be able to join you for the Summer Speaker Series. And Pastor Steve and Pastor Susan, you guys are dear, dear friends. Thank you again for your trust and for allowing me to join you in this morning. Looking back, it seems crazy that the first time Jessica and I were able to join you in person was in February of 2013. I don't know if there are still some OGs from the youth group from that time, but it was the Altar Conference, and wow, what a journey has been. And thank you. Thank you for your friendship through the years. Thank you for how you continue to serve not only Surrey, Vancouver, British Columbia so faithfully, but also how you continue to make a difference to the ends of the earth. The way that you're stewarding the Lord's call to be able to not only pastor, but also champion the cause of the gospel to the ends of the earth is inspiring, and we're just honored. We are so honored to not only think of you as ministry partners, not only think of you as people that are championing the gospel, but also to know that we're friends and the hand of the Lord is upon you. And church, if you didn't know, you have incredible pastors and you're doing a tremendous, tremendous work all over the earth. And then just a little side note, last year we celebrated together during this summer series, the fact that your favorite, well, my favorite Canadian in Oklahoma City, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, led the Thunder to a tournament. This year, we didn't make it all the way. We just, you know, got close. But hey, next year is coming. And if you want to watch Shai in a Thunder game, give us a holler. We'll take care of you. And then also, congratulations during the World Cup. Canada, man. Great job. You got out of the group stage. You got the first win in history. This team is up and up, and we have enjoyed cheering on the Canadian national team. But we're not here to talk about basketball or to talk about football or soccer, I guess I should say. We're here to talk about the word of the Lord. And again, thank you for the opportunity. And if you will join me in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, we'll just read four verses of scripture. Chapter 8, verse 22. And they came to Bethsaida, and so people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit in his eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes, and his sight was restored, and saw everything clearly. And Jesus, thank you because you're here today. And thank you because you are moving. And thank you because today you continue to invite us to a journey with you. You take us by the hand, and you touch us again. We love you, Jesus, and we just ask you that you will do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can think or ask or imagine. We love you. In your name, amen. This is a very unique passage in Scripture because it is one of the very rare occasions when you had to take a look and see that Jesus had to do something again. You know, most miracles, we saw that the Lord spoke the word and just kind of did his thing. But on this one, in this particular instance, it required a second touch. So I want to talk about this again, and I want to invite you to take a look at the miracle that Jesus performed and what it could mean to us. However, knowing the Gospel of Mark, that is pretty straightforward, only 16 chapters, fast-paced, fast-moving, but also very deliberate about the discipleship connotations and very deliberate about linking people, places, and the promises of God. I want for us to see that maybe this is about the miracle. Maybe this is about the blind man. But maybe this is also about the disciples. And maybe this is also about you and I needing for God to visit us and to do some things in us again. So as we go directly to the narrative of Scripture, in Bethsaida, this was a fishing village, but it was no strange place to Jesus, and especially this was not a strange place to some of the disciples. In fact, this was the hometown for Peter, for Andrew, for Philip. This is a place that they had grown up in. They knew these streets. They knew these neighbors. This is, their hood, if you allow me to say it that way. And as they come into Bethsaida, quickly, it was just not that they were familiar with the place. The people in the place, in the community, they were familiar with Jesus. And they were familiar with the disciples. Because as they see them coming and approach them, this small fishing village in northern Galilee, quickly, they bring this blind man to the encounter. They know, hey, Jesus is coming. And they know the type of things that Jesus can do. And they know that this guy needs a special touch. So they bring this blind man out, and there is a sense of expectation, and there is a sense of, okay, Jesus is about to do something. However, Jesus did not perhaps do what they thought that he would do. We know that, Jesus had spoken the word and people from a long distance, like the centurion servant was healed, or he kind of spoke the word and 10 lepers were cleansed at once, or he has fed the multitudes, or he has done so many things, and he had almost become a bit of a show, and had almost become a bit of a fun thing to watch Jesus at work, and we all come to the church and we all celebrate and we're all excited and we just kind of want to see God kind of do a little something, we feel good, and then we go home. However, Jesus was not interested in entertaining people. I'll come back to that later. There is a reason why I'm saying that. Jesus was not interested in entertaining people. He was able to see the man. He was able to see this one. He was able to see somebody that was in the middle of a situation that there was no way he could by his own means get out of. And Jesus grabs him by the hand and invites him on a journey. You see, Jesus stops and didn't say, "Bring him here," like it happened with Bartimaeus at the entrance in Jericho. Jesus, in this occasion, walks to the man, grabs him by the hand, in a very personal way, walks with him to the outside of the village, gets close enough that he's able to spit on his eyes. Strange medicine, but it worked. And then puts his hand on this man's eyes and touches him. You see, some of us today, we're probably in a place where we find ourselves that we cannot get ourselves out of. Maybe right now you're in a situation in your marriage or with your children or at work. Maybe it's not something external. Maybe you're in a deep, dark hour of the soul where you recognize, I need a touch from Jesus. But not just a touch from Jesus. You're needing from him to grab you by the hand and walk you out of that place of brokenness, or walk you out of that place of despair, or walk you out of that place of dismay, or walk you out of that place of just confusion and blindness and just heartache. And you need for him to get very close to you and touch you. Let me tell you, he can. And if you give him an opportunity, he will. He will do that. But we have seen Jesus do that before. And I know that you here today, this in this service, you have seen Jesus do that before. Maybe you're watching online and you're saying, Pastor Max, I have heard that before and I have seen it. What I had not seen before is the fact that when Jesus asked him, do you see anything? The blind man now responds, I do, but I see people looking like trees walking. You see, it's not clear, it's fuzzy, it's blurry, almost when a camera and you're trying to take a picture with your cell phone really quickly and it's kind of out of focus. And I don't know if it happens to you, every time you need to take a quick picture, you put it out and it's kind of out of focus. And you have to tap and just kind of get it to be able to focus in. That's kind of what the blind man was seeing. And Jesus stretches his hand and touched him again. And then, we read it, verse 25, as he lays his hand on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. I also have a good old King James Version here with me. In fact, it's Jessica's great-grandfather's Bible. And I want to read verse 25 because it reminds me of how I memorized this verse in Spanish growing up in Argentina. Verse 25 in the King James, after he put his hands again upon his eyes, he made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. This is not the only instance in Scripture where we encounter a moment where God's emissary is doing something again. What do I mean by that? Yes, Jesus, this is the only instance of his healing. But if you join me in 1 Kings chapter 19, we encounter how Elijah is exhausted. He has had enough. He's at the end of his road, and he is laying down there by a bush so tired that he's saying, I just want to die. And an angel comes and wakes him up and gives him some food and gives him some water and says, hey, come and eat. And then Elijah falls asleep. And again, the angel returns and gives him food and gives him water and says, hey, perk up. You still have a long way to go. So that's a moment where this man of God that is exhausted, is tired, is done, is finished, needed a second touch, a second visitation, a moment where God had to bring that nourishment that he needed to be strengthened for the journey again. Or if you go to 2 Kings chapter 4, when we find Elisha with the Shunammite woman and her son has died, and then Elisha lays upon the boys and prays and breathes, and the Bible tells us that it got warm, something happened, but the revival was not completed, so then he had to go and lay upon him again. And in that second time, life surged into the body of that boy, and the miracle was completed. You see, I believe that many of us today, we may have had encountered the grace and the faithfulness and the power of God in our lives at some point, but that today in this moment, some of us, maybe our vision is a little bit blurry. Maybe our drive has ceased. Maybe our strength has diminished. Maybe we are just in a situation almost of proverbial spiritual death when we are needing for God to visit us and to come to our encounter again. To be able to see one more time everyone, every man, everything around us clearly. You see, some of us, maybe our hope has been zapped. Maybe we're looking at the political environment, or maybe we're looking at what is happening with the economy, or maybe we're looking at situations in our family, and we just stop being able to have the clarity of mind to know that He who called us is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can think or ask or imagine. But we no longer have that strength to believe that He is able to do what He says that He could do. We read promises like in Jeremiah when He tells us in 29:11 that He thoughts that He knows the thoughts and the plans that He has for us. Plans for good. But we struggle with that. Or when we read passages when we're told that for those who love God, all things work out for good. And we're saying, but Pastor Max, look around. You see, so many times we forget that Jesus is not bothered by how overwhelming our environment can become, but rather He's willing to step in and show His love and His grace and His mercy again. You know, there's this one guy by the name of Simon that became Peter that happened to be on a boat with Jesus. And he said, Lord, if it is You, call me out. And Peter just hears the word of the Lord saying, come. And that was the first point of connection. He gets out, he starts walking on the water, everything's going great. But then he begins to look at how aggressive the waves are, and he's listening to the sound of the raging storm, and he begins to think about himself like, what am I doing walking on water? And he begins to drown. Jesus walks up to him, stretches his hand, pulls him up, and invites him on a quick journey back onto the boat, walking on water together. You see, some of us, our hearts have become a bit of the challenge. Our hearts have become hardened. And we need for Jesus to touch our lives again. Why do I say that? Because if you take a step back in the narrative of Scripture and you go to chapter 8 at the beginning, you are going to see that Jesus feeds the 4,000 and that the disciples just brought 7 loaves of bread to Jesus and He broke it and He multiplied it and the Lord did an amazing miracle. And then immediately after that in verse 11, you find the Pharisees are coming out and saying, Jesus, are You going to give us a sign? And Jesus says, absolutely not, because man, this generation is just crazy. I'll read it to you. Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. What was Jesus talking about? He's saying, you're seeing what the Lord is doing. This is not just for show and entertainment. This is about being able to meet people's needs. This is being able to about ushering My kingdom on earth. This is about being able to bring freedom to the captives, being able to open the eyes of the blind, being able to declare the year of the Lord. But they were so hung up on their own idea of what Jesus should do that they were missing the heart and the crux of the matter. But the problem is, verse 14, now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they only had one loaf with them. This is the disciples. And Jesus says, hey, be careful with the leaven of the disciples, of the Pharisees, I'm sorry. And they keep arguing. And Jesus says, and please read this with me, verse 17. Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, you do not see. And having ears, you do not hear. Do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did I take up? And they say to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they say, 7. And Jesus said again, do you not understand? And then he comes to Bethsaida and we encounter this blind man. You see, When we look in very close attention to the Gospel of Mark, we realize that nothing is disconnected. And that Jesus was addressing two situations at the very same time. He was very aware that there was a man that was in pain, in brokenness, that needed to have an encounter with the living God, and he was willing, and he took him on a journey, and he had compassion. He got close, and he touched him again. But also, Jesus was looking very deep into the hearts of his followers that have seen him do amazing things, that have walked with him, that have performed all these miracles, but yet, at the very first turn, their faith begins to falter. At the very first turn, their vision gets clouded. At the very first obstacle, they begin to be so susceptible to the environment that surrounds them that they seem to have forgotten who Jesus was in their lives. You see, this blind man was not just about the physical blindness of one individual. This miracle was directly connected to the words that Jesus had said moment earlier when he said to the disciples, "Even though you have eyes, you cannot see. And even though you have ears, you are not hearing what I'm saying. You have just lived through this. It does not matter what your environment says right now about you. What matters is that you have welcomed me into your life and that you have invited the fullness of my presence into who I am for you and with you and through you." They have forgotten that one loaf in their hands did not determine heaven's capacity to be able to feed the needs of a crowd. But they were so short-sighted and minded that they have forgotten who had called them. Maybe that's perhaps why that both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, over 50 times, we see the admonishment, "Lest you forget, do not forget, bring to remembrance, call out, repeat it to your children, repeat it to your children's children, write it on the doorposts of your hands, write it almost on your hearts. Don't forget who I am, and don't forget what I have done for you." And maybe today, as we're in the middle of this summer series, there are some of us that our heart has become hardened, that our vision has become cluttered, that we no longer see every man, every woman, every child, every neighbor, every student, every co-worker, every person around us that is in desperate need of an encounter from heaven, that you and I are the answer that God has provided by placing us in their lives, but we are just so focused on, "I only have one loaf of bread." And Jesus is saying, "Hey, I can do it for them, and I will. But I also need to do it for you. I need to touch you again. I need to be able to renew your strength, maybe like Elijah. I need to bring things back to life like I did it with Elisha. I need to bring your vision back into focus. I need to do like the good old King James tells us, I need to get you to look up again and to be able to place your eyes no longer in what is surrounding you, but in me, the author and the finisher of your faith." Maybe you need a faith boost again in your life. Maybe you're needing to have a moment, kind of like disciples had when he said, "Hey, I know that you can go and just go to the ends of the earth," like we have in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, or Mark 16, verse 11, when he tells us, "Go and just share the gospel with everyone. However, I think you need a second touch. Hang on in Jerusalem, because the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Some of us maybe need to be able to move from just having the presence of Jesus in our life for the sake of salvation and just having our own little loaf of bread, to be able to recognize that there are people in Bethsaida, a very familiar place to these disciples, that remain blind and need to have an encounter with Jesus. Or maybe some of us need to be able to have a second touch and for the Holy Spirit to again do something to awaken our heart and awaken our passion and redefine our vision so we can walk back into our workplace and do what God has called us to do. Be the people that He has called us to be. You see, so many of us are witnessing the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord all around us that it has almost become entertaining. Like these Pharisees saying, okay, give us a sign. Whereas Jesus is saying, no, I want to draw you near. I want to draw you closer. I want for you to be able to feel the heartbeat of my heart. I want for you to be able to discern why I am doing what you're doing. I want to bring clarity to your life. That's like the apostle tells us, he does not want for anyone to perish, but for everyone to have an opportunity for repentance. And in the middle of this summer series, as we come to the middle of the year and we're able to look back at the first half and assess what the Lord has done, maybe we're saying, Jesus, I need you to touch me again. Because if I'm posturing for the second half of the year, I can't keep seeing things blurry. I need clarity of vision. I need clarity of thought. I need for your hand upon my life to awaken within me that you have placed, because I know that you can do it again. You can do it in me, and you can do it through me. So just like it happened with this blind man, today it can happen to us. Because the very next thing that happens after this healing is they walk into Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus asked this confused man that didn't really know who or what or Jesus was doing, and they were arguing about bread. Now they get a question again, and Jesus asked, hey, who do people say that I am? And they gave all these answers. But then in verse 29, he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. And some of us today in this summer need to maybe begin a journey. Perhaps you're here today and this is the first time that you're hearing the message of the gospel. Good news. Jesus loves you. He is for you. And today, just like he did with this blind man, he wants to grab you by the hand and walk you to a place of deliverance, of freedom, of fullness of life. He will touch you. Maybe you have walked away from Jesus, and it has been 5, 10 years since you have come near him. Good news, my friend. Today, he can touch you again. But perhaps this message goes a layer deeper. And some of us need to be able to be reminded of who Christ is and why he did what he did. Maybe some of us need to say, Lord, I don't want to have just eyes to see at my immediacy. I want to be able to look up and see what you see. Some of us, our heart has become hardened and we have become jaded and we have become a little bit almost too professional for how messy life can become sometimes. Good news. He can also do it for you. And he can touch you. He can remind you of what he has done for you. And he can bring clarity of the purpose and the plan that he has for you. Because he is the Christ. But he's also your and my personal Savior, who shed his blood for us, but not just to save us, but also to release us into the fullness of His plan, so that every person on earth can meet Him through us. So Jesus, we come to You today and we ask You, will You please stretch Your hand and touch us? Lord, for the person that needs healing today, heal them right now in Jesus' name. For the ones that need strength, strengthen them in Jesus' name. Lord, for those who are for the first time saying, Jesus, I need You in my life, thank You. Thank You because You are our Savior and You are now becoming theirs. But Lord, there are some of us that need for our heart to be softened again to Your love and to Your hand and to Your purposes in our lives. And I just ask that in this moment You will touch us again and remind us of Your plan and Your purpose for Your name's sake. Jesus, we love You and we thank You for today. In Your name, amen and amen. Many blessings.